You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
It's a big weekend. It's a long weekend, of course, with Labor Day coming up on Monday. And so there should be plenty of excitement surrounding your fantasy football draft. We're less than a week away from opening night when the Kansas City Chiefs take on the Houston Texans right here on KOAL. So let's talk fantasy football. And to do that, we'll bring in Joe Bartel. He's a fantasy football expert with RotoWire. Again, that is the top fantasy app. I mean, if you're playing fantasy sports, you got to make sure that you log on to RotoWire. Joe, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time once again today. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy, and you know, we are at that week mark before the NFL season starts. It's 7 days away, so getting those drafts in and getting prepared, this is always like crunch time for a lot of people, and especially this year with kind of the pause and I guess I would say lack of recognition as to where we are in the NFL season. I imagine there's gonna be a lot of people frantically getting ready and preparing to study for their draft boards coming up.
Yeah, it definitely seems a little odd. We didn't get the four preseason games to kind of I love preseason week 3 and 4. I think you can gain an awful lot by watching those 2 weeks. Obviously, we don't get that this year. And now it's creeping up on us with Thursday night being the first game of the season. So let's start talking about fantasy draft boards. And I know this is a tough topic because everybody's fantasy league's a little bit different. You have dynasty leagues, you have keeper leagues, and you have restart leagues every single season. So top fantasy player in the game, be it PPR, be it just a regular fantasy all the way around. Am I wrong for saying it's Christian McCaffrey? If he is on your board and you have the number one pick, you have to take CMC.
Yeah, I think it's CMC all the way. And it's whether it be standard or PPR, I think the amount of work that he's going to have to do with that offense and the fact that the Panthers' defense is sneakily really, I think, one of the bottom fourth among the entire league. There's going to be offense, and we'll see what this new Matt Rule system and everything else they have with Joe Brady going on. I'll be curious to watch it. I think that's going to be one of the more under-the-radar things, especially with you look at the Buccaneers and how's Tom Brady going to work. I mean, that's like a different NFC South team that's going to draw a lot of attention. I'm very curious what the Panthers' offense is going to look like, even if Christian McCaffrey doesn't get 1,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards and 100-plus catches, whatever he was close to it last year. I still think the floor you're getting with him is by far the safest among any of the running backs in the NFL right now, and I want safety in that first-round pick selection. So, yeah, I don't think he can go any other direction but one with CMC. The second pick, I think you could differ a little bit between Barkley and Ezekiel Elliott. I tend to prefer Ezekiel Elliott just a little bit more because I think that offense is going to be better. But it's really splitting hairs. And unfortunately, I think for a lot of people, a lot of the running backs, there's very obvious and defined tiers this season. But when you get in those tiers, you are splitting hairs. And I think it also kind of applies to maybe the fourth or fifth tier of wide receivers, too, and certainly the back end of the tight ends. I've never seen a more defined group of tiers, irrespective of their positions, but also how close every one of those guys are in tiers. It's like one of those, shrug your shoulders, I'll make that call. And I think it kind of starts with really that second tier of running back and certainly like that fourth or fifth round of wide receiver too.
Okay, so when we talk about the second tier of running backs, one of the players, and Joe, you can tell me if I'm completely out of the blue when saying this, I expect some regression from Derrick Henry just a tad bit. And I think once you get past Saquon Barkley, you're looking at Derrick Henry, maybe a Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara. That's where you're sitting at for that second tier type running back. Am I off base by saying expect some regression from Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a little bit crazy. And what I'm projecting is that maybe the Derrick Henry rushing attack isn't as potent as we saw during the playoffs for the Titans. I mean, how could it be? They were one of the most dominant forces of nature, it felt like, during that whole month stretch as they got close to the Super Bowl and ultimately lost, right? Like, I think you can't possibly have Derrick Henry do that 16 games or 17 games during the season and be an effective Derrick Henry. However, if you get him a little bit more in space, and I don't know why the Titans don't do this more, to be quite frank, that if you involve him as a pass catcher, even if instead of his career high, what, 15 or 18 catches, you do more like 25, just throwing seven more passes his direction, I think he adds maybe 70 or 80 total yards to that equation, and that's just different. There's different people tackling Derrick Henry when you're throwing it out in space as opposed to running between the tackles. And if you want to have Derrick Henry be the most explosive but still involve him in your offense, like I think the Titans have to, not want to, have to, that's the direction I see it. So in a standard format, it's Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, and Derrick Henry at four. I think you have to have Derrick Henry at number four in a standard. In a PPR perspective, there's a lot more guys out there. And it certainly got a little bit awkward and still is awkward in this middle range after Ezekiel Elliott, whether it be Dalvin Cook, Kamara with his contract situation. Joe Mixon thankfully got resolved, but there's more question marks. I think you can fade Henry a little bit more there. But again, I talk about CMC and his floor. I think Derrick Henry gives you a similar floor from a rushing air perspective, and I can't move away from that, even if there is maybe 100 or 200 yard regression, which is likely, just because it's not possible to do what Henry did throughout the playoffs and really leading up to it again.
Again, our guest right now is Joe Bartel of RotoWire as we talk fantasy football. Hopefully you're gearing up for your fantasy drafts this weekend or early next week. With that being said, Joe, let's move over to the wide receiver spot. This one is really interesting to me this year. In my mind, I mean, I think you have Michael Thomas. I think you could put Devontae Adams at the top, maybe a Tyreek Hill. Typically, when we talk about the best fantasy wide receivers, it seems blasphemous, not to mention Julio Jones or even a DeAndre Hopkins. Chris Godwin's a guy that I was high on this year. I know I remember talking to you last year. You were high on Chris Godwin as well. So when you look at the wide receiver rankings, give me your tier one wideouts that are must grabs if they are available at that position.
Yeah, it's so tough. I like all of these wide receivers, but I don't have very many of them, and I have been picking the back end of the first round, but people are going to find out if this is going to be your first draft this weekend, or if you're doing some best balls or just mock drafts for preparation. You're going to be like, oh, wait, why is Todd Gurley going in the third round? Why is David Johnson going in the third round? There's all these really great receivers, Kenny Galladay, or I really love DJ Chark this year, DK Metcalf. Like, all these receivers you saw explode last year are going to go behind the Todd Gurleys and David Montgomerys of the world. Well, it's because overall the fantasy position this year has been get your running back as early as you possibly can, and they're going to be priced up extremely high. Like Miles Sanders, who I think is a very questionable guy for a late first-round pick, is easily going there for a lot of different people. His ADP ranges from pick 8 so pick 13. I mean, that's the first 13 picks of the draft is a guy that is likely to be splitting time with Boston Scott, and maybe if the Eagles sign a different guy out there too. I mean, they like to do those running back by committees, but that's where we're at right now with the running back position. After the first 10, who all really go in the first round, there's noticeable question marks. So I like Devontae Adams, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas are very clear tier one of wide receivers for me, and I think Tyreek Hill could be put into that discussion too. But it's really hard to be able to get Devontae Adams and also get a star running back. Or it is really hard to get Michael Thomas, certainly, for example, in a PPR format, and also get a running back that you feel comfortable with. More often than not, I found my position being Julio Jones and Tyreek Hill, who are kind of going in the middle of the second round. They can sometimes fall to you if you are picking the beginning, but more often than not, especially if I'm in your draft, I'm not letting either one of those guys slip. They have wide receiver one overall potential. They're getting drafted as wide receiver 4 or 5, and I think either one of those guys feels like the best value relative to how I want to construct the rest of my roster.
So when we look at what Tampa Bay has, and again, we're talking about two top 10 wide receivers. I don't think anyone would argue that, right? Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. But when you look at what Tom Brady also has at the tight end spot, the addition to Leonard Fournette, how does this affect the value just from a sheer production standpoint, volume standpoint, from a Chris Godwin and a Mike Evans, or does it at all?
Yeah, I'm on record that I think Tom Brady is as kaput as a first ballot automatic Hall of Fame quarterback can possibly be put. And that's to say, I don't know if Tom Brady can really do that deep ball stuff that people like to point to from 2007 with the Randy Moss era. And then they'll be like, oh, yeah, well, Tom Brady never had those guys to really throw in the Patriots since then. And that's true. But I think you just have to look at some of the games that he had, specifically the playoffs last year, and it's not the same guy. I get it. We're all excited about Tom Brady and, oh, he's in a new system, and he's not with the Patriots, and, oh, I don't like the Patriots winning so much, so it's happy to see Tom Brady elsewhere. I understand all of that. But you also have to understand he's a 40-plus-year-old quarterback that is in a new system that really shouldn't mesh with Tom Brady. I don't imagine Brady signs with the Buccaneers without consulting Bruce Arians on multiple occasions and figuring out what the offense would look like beforehand. But still, like, it's tough. So I like Godwin, and I certainly like Mike Evans, too. But I think there's a realistic fall-off for what the production for each of those guys looks like. And it also could factor into the Buccaneers' defense isn't that bad this year. I think that's kind of a sneaky part of this, too. If they're winning 20-7 in the third quarter, how often are they really doing a Jameis Winston deep ball to Mike Evans? Not very often. And I think it's likely going to occur because Tom Brady, for his not greatest years of throwing the ball, is really good at taking care of the ball and making the right reads, things you'd expect from a veteran, things that help a team win. And that's where the difference between Jameis Winston and Brady lies. I think Godwin's still a 1,000-plus yard receiver. I think Mike Evans is still going to be a guy that gets 1,200 yards and maybe 6 or 7 touchdowns. But trying to project the upside scenario, I already feel like that's baked into their ADP. And I'm ultimately not selecting either one of them because I think we're drafting them based off of their tippy-top upside. And I don't see a scenario where they can get even better than where they're currently going.
Joe Bartel, again of RotoWire, our guest right now as we talk fantasy football. Joe, we have to break just for a moment, but I'd love to bring you back for one more segment if you have the time to hang around with us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. Again, we're going to talk more fantasy football with Joe Bartel of RotoWire. When we return, we'll talk about one of the most tricky positions in all of fantasy football. It's the quarterback. May not be as cut and dry as it seems. How long should you wait before selecting a quarterback? We'll talk about that next when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.